We've been thinking about pilgrimage, and I wonder what you've made of that as we've been talking about it. I'm obviously very aware that for many people, the initial thought was pilgrimage. I mean, even the word is old-fashioned. It conjures up notions of something that monks did in the Middle Ages. Or if it is in today's world, at the very best, it'd be the really zealous kind of people. Maybe from a Catholic background, who might determine to follow an ancient route from, say, France to Spain, going from Chartres or somewhere like that, the sites where miracles happened, where great things happened, to try to follow that trail and maybe in the process just remind themselves of what their faith is about and looking for an encounter with God. On the contrary, rather than pilgrimage being something that we take time out to do when we're kind of feeling in the mood for that, I hope we are beginning to grasp that pilgrimage is God's design for the whole of our life. Our life's journey is the pilgrimage. It's the principle that Jesus was calling his disciples to when he said, "Take up your cross and follow me," had elements within that that we take of Jesus into our lives, and then we follow in the way that Jesus modeled this idea of serving God in pilgrimage. But as we've started down this road over the last few weeks, something's dawned on me. I've become very aware of a sense that God is giving us this subject, this whole theme, as an opportunity, as a tool to help move us forward as a church, as well as individuals, to help us grasp who we are in God. And what we can be as a church for him. And for that reason, I want to emphasize how important I think this whole subject area is. I want to encourage you to switch into it. Actually, it began for us, I think, a long time ago. Back in 2016, the call from God was to stop our busyness. Doing the things that we were routinely doing, that many, many churches were doing at that time, to stop that and come back and be still and seek the heart of God. I believe God was inviting us to think and be a different kind of church and people. Then came COVID 3 years ago. And the whole of God's church was given a nudge, almost a bit of a punch, because we couldn't do things in the way that we'd always done them. And all churches started to ask questions about who they were and what it was to be God's people. It really challenged us to think differently and to operate differently. Now, I'm very aware that many churches have quite quickly gone back to doing things the way they were doing things before across denominations. But I can tell you that amongst my colleagues in the Baptist denomination, for many Baptist ministers, they lament how quickly we have stepped back into doing things in the same old way. Like an elastic band with people on the end of it and back to the comfortable life. And many are lamenting that and wanting to push us to ask the question, what more, Lord? Well, a large part of all of that thing that I think God wants to do differently in us comes from the recognition that being followers of Jesus, being Christians, is not a call to, if you like, get on with life, all of this stuff that we call life, but make sure that within it, there are bits where we engage with the church, that we commit to being, doing things for God in a church context, especially. That's not what God is inviting us to, but rather the idea of pilgrimage being an ongoing walk through the whole of this life, in which God invites us to walk with him along the way. So I want to describe it as being not a religious practice, but a life calling. So what have we seen so far? Well, we recognize that life as God's people involves sometimes going in unexpected directions, but that in the twists and turns along the way, that's where God trains us and teaches us and molds us and then equips us for what might come, for what may follow. We then recognized that this notion of pilgrimage is not necessarily a physical journey, but rather it's an ongoing pilgrimage of the heart. It's about who we are, how we react, how we respond, how we appreciate God. It's the journey of discovering that and putting it into practice in the whole of this life. And then last week, we saw in the upbringing of Jesus, we recognized pilgrimage being a part of his upbringing. And we looked specifically at the example of when he was lost as a child. He was left behind after a visit to Jerusalem for Passover, and his parents moved and made a day's travel, only to discover finally that he wasn't with them, and they had to journey back in search of Jesus. But out of that story, we realized that there were three things that come together that really nicely model the principle of pilgrimage. The first was it is a costly journey. Second, that it is to a significant place. I'll mention that in a second. And then thirdly, that it's searching for Jesus. It was costly for Jesus' family to go back. They went to the significant place, Jerusalem and the temple, and it was in searching for Jesus, but for us too. So for example, if we come across a crisis in life, crisis in my family, it could be very costly to stand up as a Christian and give a godly, a Christ-like response, even in the situation where people are shouting and yelling and have certain expectations of you. Secondly, we go to a significant place, not just significant in terms of geography, but a significant situation that has to be faced, a significant crisis, a significant issue perhaps in our lives. But always the third, searching for Jesus. Lord, in this family crisis that I am dealing with, where are you? How do I respond? What do I need to learn? Do I need your forgiveness in the way I've been doing things? That's this notion of pilgrimage in the whole of the situation, the whole of life. So it could be a health situation, it could be your financial situation, whatever else is going on around you. So that's what we started to look at again last week. Now, if you've missed any of these, I want to encourage you, go back. There were some other really important, really valuable lessons last week. Go to the website and just listen. It's easy to do it. But today we're going to recognize that pilgrimage is more often than not seen in the ordinary. You might be under the impression, and because of some of the things that we've looked at, that pilgrimage encounters come through the dramatic, like, for example, in a healing situation or where there's a great bereavement. Today, I want us to recognize, on the contrary, most situations where we have an encounter on that pilgrimage journey are in quite ordinary situations, like when two people are having a conversation and one of them might say, "Would you give me a drink?" which is what happened in the passage read to us with Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman. So we join Jesus on this dusty trail through Samaria. He's been on a long journey. It's midday. It's hot. He's tired. And we read that he wanted to take a break from the journey. So he's resting from the extreme heat in the day at this well. But keep in the back of your mind, it's also in Samaria. So in this setting, in Jesus' time, remember that Jews despised Samaria. Samaritans would be people that you would keep yourself from, keep them at a distance. They were ostracized. Such was the frustration that you would feel against them. On the contrary, the contempt is the word I was thinking of. Such is that contempt, you'd be more likely to take a six-day journey around Samaria rather than the three-day shortcut to get across. But here is Jesus in this situation, yet again breaking the norms, breaking taboos, turning these practices of society, of normal wisdom, on their heads. He's breaking geographical norms by being in Samaria. He's breaking social norms by speaking to this woman. He's breaking the norm by speaking to a Samaritan woman. And then to make it even worse, he's having a really deep and personal conversation about some of the most contentious issues that might take place in any person's life. And he's doing that with this woman as well. But that's what Jesus did. The situation is uncomfortable. He's tired. It's not necessarily where most Jews would want to be, but remember that model of pilgrimage that we've just been thinking about with its 3 points. Costly, a place of significance, searching for Jesus. Well, he's hot, he's tired, he's in need of refreshment. It's a hostile place. This is costly as a pilgrimage opportunity. It's a significant location. Actually, it is a significant location geographically, because this is Jacob's well, and we could pursue that. We won't do that today, but we could. But by significant location, it's not just significant geography, it is significant in terms of what might be taking place there. Significant in the magnitude of the issue that could be addressed. This would be significant in that it would transform the life of this woman from Samaria. So much so that she would become the first evangelist in the world. And in the process would then transform her village. And then the third point. So it was costly. It was significant. And the third point, searching for Jesus. Well, of course, in this case, it is Jesus. But Jesus is revealing who he is to a woman who is searching. Read the passage. You'll see she is searching. She recognizes who he might be because she goes and tells the village, could this be the Christ? This is someone whose life is chaotic. It is a mess. Everybody's ignoring her. That's the reason that she's at the well in the first place. Here's a woman who's seeking something of a change in life, and Jesus meets that. So the result of this encounter is life-changing. But the means of that change is incredibly ordinary. It's just a conversation. It's a conversation whilst Jesus is definitely not at his best, at a place that is less than ideal, with a person who's got a dubious background and just happens to be there. Isn't that interesting? All these things. some phenomenal transformation takes place. But all of those things are really ordinary, everyday situations. No vast sum of money spent on a campaign of evangelism. No putting up tents and getting choirs organized and all the things that we've often thought of as being essential to evangelistic campaigns. This is a pilgrimage of the ordinary, just another day in the life of a journey. That's what Jesus invites his followers to do. It's about as far from a religious practice experience as you can get, and yet it's incredibly transformative. Lives which involve finding Jesus along the way and then pointing him out to other people. That is the Christian life. That's the Christian mission. That's what we're about, actually. We made it so much more complicated, and it's as simple as that. Pilgrimage in the ordinary. Christians are called to be pilgrims in ordinary settings because Jesus led his life of pilgrimage in all of those ordinary settings in just the same way. Last week, we saw that Jesus' upbringing involved lots of illustrations of pilgrimage journeys. But in fact, the whole of Jesus' ministry and life down on this earth involved ordinary settings. They were all part of his pilgrimage. There was the pilgrimage from heaven to earth, from Jew to Gentile, from men to women, from Nazareth and Bethlehem to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, from Gethsemane to Golgotha, from the cradle to the cross, from the cross reaching out to you and me. That was Jesus' life of ministry, of pilgrimage. And that's what he invites us to have, a life of moving day by day to whatever setting comes next. So when it comes to what God is asking us and inviting us to do and to be as his people, I want to ask the question, seriously, I am asking you, have you made this mindset change yet? Or are you still harking back to the familiarity of religious practice as being what it is to be a Christian? That's what I believe he's inviting us to step out of, to discover something radically different in the ordinary as we journey with him. Have you realized it is in every situation, every day, that we have our pilgrim journey with God? So here's a question for you. Where are those places, those situations where you meet with Jesus, with people? Where do you meet with folk? Because that's where your pilgrimage is. Who are the people that you meet along the way? What are the settings? What are the conversations? That's where this takes place. And suddenly, rather than the pressure of, I need to have great answers, I need to have all this great knowledge in my head so that I'm fully equipped for the task ahead, we realize actually, no, you just need to take another step and be aware Jesus is with you. That's the pilgrimage, seeking him along the way. And he'll give you the opportunities and the words. Ordinary situations. Well, Jesus was in an ordinary situation, but did you notice Jesus built a powerful connection with this Samaritan woman? And he began by simply saying, can I have some water? He had a need. He shared a need. He made himself vulnerable. And I was really struck by that because we don't like making ourselves vulnerable, do we? We don't like asking people for help. We like to show that we've got it all together. We're really independent. I've got this, thank you. No disrespect, but for your generation, you were called to show independence. Showing any level of weakness or vulnerability, needing to ask for help, heaven forbid. I struggled with that all day, dealing with some folk who struggle to get help, thinking they know best. But we're like that, aren't we? I was reminded of how we can break out of this week through something that happened. I went and visited Violet and Rick, who don't try to be independent people, don't get me wrong. This is an illustration about me. And I went to them, and I'd been out for quite a long time by the time I arrived on their doorstep, and I knocked on the door and they invited me in, and they were very welcoming. They said, would you like a tea? Would you like some biscuits? And my normal practice is to think to myself, you impose as little as possible. So no, normally I have to say no. It just suddenly struck me, hang on a minute. I've been out for 3 hours. I'm really thirsty, desperate for a drink. And my stomach was rumbling because I'd been on antibiotics. I hadn't taken any breakfast. So I asked them, yeah, I'd really love a cup of tea and biscuits. And they were fantastic. And they really blessed me. So when they're watching this DVD, Rick, Violet, bless you. Thank you. They send their greetings to you all, by the way. They really bless me. And I hope I bless them just by making myself a little bit vulnerable. It's a small example, isn't it? Do you know, people are really put off by the arrogance that comes with folk who think they've got it all together, but they warm to humility. I wonder how we might make ourselves a little more vulnerable, honest, open ourselves. Is there someone to whom it is appropriate to share a need and invite them to bless you in the process? And how might that open a door, as Jesus did with this Samaritan woman? Ordinary situations, ordinary people, and maybe you taking into it your ordinary need. The fact that you don't have all the answers. How often do you find people at a bus stop sitting and talking and arrogantly talking about what the Prime Minister has just said or what some politician has just spoken of? And we agree, yeah, haven't they got it all wrong? Like we've got it right. I wonder if we come with a different perspective of just being honest. Well, actually, today, I'm tired. How are you? And the door opens. But then we move to the end of the story and just look at the response when the disciples come back on the scene. We pick up where the disciples have just come back, having got all their provisions from the local town or village. And they find that Jesus is deeply engaged with a potentially dodgy woman. I'll read it to you. Again, just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking to a woman, but no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And they went out of the town and we're coming to him. Isn't it interesting that when the approach has not been arrogance, but it's been humble and openness, people don't feel threatened and they're willing to respond and take it further. So the woman went to the town and the people in the town came in response to someone who accepted the very woman that others wouldn't have accepted. The conversation of this woman with Jesus had been real. At times it must have been really awkward because he got to those bits in her life that brought her shame. The shame that meant that she was out there drawing water at the middle of the day when it was hottest, away from all the other women, when no one else was there, because she was being ostracized because of her dubious background. But Jesus spoke to her. And the great transformation in her life came because Jesus accepted her. He didn't condone the sin, but he fully accepted and he valued her. He loved her despite the wrongdoing. That's taking Jesus into a pilgrimage walk, into an ordinary situation. Wonder how many times I have avoided a discussion with someone because I've condemned their attitude or lifestyle. But that's what Jesus did. He touched the untouchable, the lepers. He gave attention to the blind man that everybody else was sick of whining. Oh, shut up, sit down and be quiet. He gave attention to the blind man. He gave attention to the woman who had the issue of blood. He accepted those who were rejected by society. And ultimately, of course, he went to the cross where he accepted you and me as we believed in him and our need for him. Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the principle that Jesus lived his whole life with. I believe that's the principle he invites us to understand pilgrimage to be. Taking our cross and following his example. Taking Jesus with us, looking for him all along the way, in the ordinary as well as the dramatic, and in the process pointing others to him. So what have we learned today? That our pilgrimage, like Jesus, is a journey into ordinary events in every day, wherever we find ourselves. And second, our pilgrimage is amongst ordinary people, the very same people who need the extraordinary God in the same way that we did. Let's pray.